Thank you for all that he is. Thank you for all that he does, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word, Father. Father, we pray that you would fill him with the Holy Spirit as he preaches your word this morning. Be with his mind, be with his understanding. Help him to hear your voice, Lord. Put your passion into his heart, Lord. And Father, we pray for our own hearts, Lord, that we won't be hearers that don't do anything. Lord, just hearers only. Father, we pray, give us soft hearts. Lord, give us open minds. Lord, give us obedient hearts. Father, that your word would take root in us, Lord, that we would be changed, Father, by what you have written in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. Gavin, I'm going to need you, mate. Today, I'm going to be talking from the passage in Nehemiah, which is chapter 2, verse 1 to 9. Obviously, we've been doing Nehemiah in this season, and there it is, brilliant. Just give us a bit of context. Gavin is going to read for us in his headmaster voice. There we go.
Thanks. Nehemiah sent to Judah. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never before been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." So I became dreadfully afraid, and I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad, when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire?" Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if the servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they may permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the king of the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy." And the king granted them to me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel.
Perfect, thank you. Before I go any further, you might think that I'm a little bit smartly dressed by my standards. For those of you that know me, obviously that's because my wife made me wear these clothes. And obviously I'm very grateful that I don't have any holes in my t-shirt and I'm wearing a hoodie like last time when I preached. So thank you, wife. I love you. Okay. So I'm going to be talking about prayer and God's provision today. And if you take anything away from this talk, I want you to know that this is the key. This is the key. The kingdom is first. God's kingdom is first. Seek God's kingdom first. I can go home now. So recently I went to my granddad's house and sat down, and he gave me a super malt on the couch. And then he went to his little filing cabinet and he pulled out a photo album. And I was flicking through, didn't really recognize too many people. Sorry, can we get the first picture up? There he is. That's my granddad there. Meet him. Now, I think it's that one. Not quite sure, but yeah, probably that one. Let me just check. Wait there. Yeah, it's got me now. Joking. Then I came across this photo of this group of people that looked to be in Israel somewhere. The next photo, please. There. And so I asked my granddad, I was like, "Oh, who are these guys?" And he said, "Oh, this guy in the middle is Reverend Daniel." And so, so this is the original Reverend Daniel, who is my great-grandfather. And these are all chiefs from the village in Nigeria. And so his Reverend Daniel's father was the first person to entertain missionaries that came from the Anglican Church, the first Anglican Church missionaries to Nigeria. So it's his father that entertained them. And as a result, he became a minister, got some chiefs together from the neighboring villages, and they did a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And they, as a result of that, they commissioned the next slide, please. This. Does anyone know what that might be? That's it. The Lord's Prayer now. Exactly. It's the Lord's Prayer in Yoruba. And so, yeah, from all the way up from that Reverend Daniel, we got this. The next slide, please. This Reverend Daniel has come to talk to you about the Lord's Prayer today and seeking the kingdom of God. Just that was just for a common call value, just in case. So you can take it off now, Nick. Yeah. So as we know, we all know the disciples' prayer or the Lord's Prayer, it's our blueprint, and it holds very much in how we should be praying and what we should be praying for. And I want to draw out again today the significance of what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to pray for first and foremost. And this is to contextualize any and every prayer that we pray. The kingdom. Your kingdom come. Lord, let your kingdom come. And again, I mentioned this in the first service. Well, I mentioned the whole thing in the first service, but this bit. And that it's interesting that sometimes when I reflect on my own prayers, I go through a whole list of things that I may be wanting or asking for, and I skip the fact that, first of all, first and foremost, God has instructed me to pray about his kingdom, to pray in his kingdom. And maybe we can all reflect on that. Like, when was the last time we actually all prayed in his kingdom rather than asking for, can I have this or can I have that? And this is why Jesus came. He came to let God's kingdom come to earth. And if we're here following Jesus today, I want to encourage us and I want to remind us that this has got to be a top priority of us in our prayer lives and in our daily living. It takes priority in everything that we do or want to achieve in life. It's all about the kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In short, it's the number one objective for God and his people. His kingdom here on earth. His kingdom here on Bassett Street, in Queen's Crescent, in Gospel Oak, in London. It's his kingdom. And when we do this, it moves us to a place of power. When our hearts are set on being instrumental in ushering in God's kingdom, we start to move in the perfect will of God. If we look at the life of Nehemiah, we can see that this has firmly gripped this guy. It's firmly gripped him. Nehemiah chapter 1, 3-4. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. The kingdom of his people, of Nehemiah's people, where God was to dwell amongst them, was in ruins. And he knew why. The conviction of this offense against God was so strong that he could weep, knowing of his own sins, conscious of his own sins, and of the people around him, the fellow Israelites. I pray, Lord, that you give us this heart. This same heart, Lord God, that we might be conscious of our own sin and the sin of others, Lord, in prayer as we usher in your kingdom, Lord God. Lord, let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is very much the attitude of Nehemiah in prayer and in his daily life as a simple cupbearer. I mean, this guy is a cupbearer to the king of an empire that's taken his people captive. It's very humbling. You know, he could be ushered in to bring some wine and then thinking, any time, at any given moment, his life is in danger, either from the wine itself or for the fact that the king just may not like him. So initially, I could imagine there was a tension there. What's this Israelite in my courts? You know, probably treated him like that. But it's, the scripture tells us that he found favor in the eyes of the king. So he must have been pretty steadfast at his job. It's a great example of living out what seeking God's kingdom looks like in the workplace. We could take this as a good example to follow. Again, I want to encourage you, wherever you might find yourselves, whatever jobs you're in, if you're at school, college, wherever it may be, that God is always able to use you. He's always able to use you. Don't think of your job as insignificant or, you know, it's just, I'm just getting by. When our hearts are set on the kingdom, we're in a place of power, strategically placed, of good influence. I'm a personal trainer, and God's started to show me how he's able to use me quite powerfully in that position. One of my clients is quite a high-profile woman, and she often goes to seminars on, you know, how to do what better in the professional world and all the rest of it. I don't know what they're called. I'm sure Beyonce runs them or something. Who run the world, girls? One of the things that comes up is like the fact that having a spirituality, having a faith is important. And so she's come back to me and say, well, you're a spiritual person. What do you believe? And it's from there I've been able to open that door. You know, I've been able to witness Jesus to her. I've been able to show her the difference between all the other faiths in the world and Jesus, to the point where she's actually walked through these doors with her children. She feels comfortable in this environment. That's God. That's God. That's not me just waking up, wipe the sleep out of my eye. Give me 20 more, all right? That's however much I'm going home. No. Let's be diligent where we work. God can use us. There's another client I have that his wife has just beaten cancer. And his wife booked a session with me. She came in and gave me a hug. And she was like, you're the reason why my husband was able to get through this tough patch and process everything while I was suffering. He didn't go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist even. He just came to me for our sessions every week. Obviously, we're going to start to talk about mortality, life, death, life after death, faith, Jesus. And now every other session, we're talking about Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, let your kingdom come. Goes hand in hand with Lord, let your will be done. The attitude and desire that takes paramount in our daily lives and prayers. Again, when we look at back at the exchange of Nehemiah and the king in chapter 2:1-4, we can see that that Nehemiah is in the king's presence. But for the first time ever, he's sad. And the king, who knows his subject, he sees it on his face. He's like, you're not sick. So something's troubling you. And that was that moment, isn't it? This is it. My time's up. I'm probably going to lose my job and my life. Nehemiah is probably thinking this right now. He became exceedingly afraid, it says. But then he just said, he just became honest. It was very honest with the king, said, respectfully speaking, Lord, you know, what does it say? May the king live forever. But how can I not be sad when the place of my ancestors is ruined? No, everything's burned up. I've got nothing. We've got nothing. My people have nothing. But then the king graciously says to Nehemiah, what do you request? That's God. He found favor in the eyes of the king. Thank you, Jesus. So Nehemiah, at that very moment, goes away, goes to the king of kings, goes to the king's boss. He goes to the one that holds the hearts of kings in his hands, and he prays. And what did he pray? In chapter 1, we can read it. It says, first and foremost, he praised him. Lord God of heaven, great and awesome God. It's always good to remember who we're talking to remind him and us. Then he reminded God of his promise to those that love him by obedience. Then from there, it was confession time. That's where he started to weep. He said that we've acted corruptly against you. Myself, my forefathers, all of the people of Israel, we're responsible for your righteous anger. You are right to be angry with us. But then Nehemiah does something really special. He reminds God again of his promise that he will bring back the scattered children of Israel should they turn their hearts to him and obey his commandments. In summary, what's he prayed? He said, it's time. It's time, Lord. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And God, his provider, Jehovah Jireh, was listening. It says in verse 6 that even the queen was sitting next to the king. And there was no resistance. He was still able to get what he wanted. The queen could have easily have overturned the decision of the king. If we just get that next photo up. If you look over there, guys, there's two people that look really similar to those two on the screen. Now, if you want to get to the king, that's fine, but you have to go through the queen first, right? Do you want to take that on? I don't think so. Even the king has a hard time sometimes. But this time, no. No resistance. What do you want? How long will it take? That's the favor of our God. And that's a sure sign of Nehemiah operating in the perfect will of our God. When our lives are really lined up with God's will, it puts us in a very strong position for answered prayer. We're right in the will of God to bear some really amazing fruit. We're in that Psalm 37, verse 4 place where it says, delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Or in the second chapter of Ephesians where it talks about being seated with Christ in heavenly places. And again, I want to encourage us that we're starting these community groups and we're looking to see in the kingdom and we're looking to see lives turn to God in such versatile ways. It's really exciting. And we should be expectant of God to move powerfully. Let your kingdom come. Matthew 6 verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I just want us to catch that. It's not about chasing things, material objects. If we look again at the verse, priority number one. The number one thing we need to do first is seek the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. And these things will be added. A great example, we all know the story of King Solomon when he was asked, what do you want? What do you need? What do you want? And he says, I need wisdom, knowledge, understanding to lead your people. God was so happy that he blessed him with riches as well. Seek first the kingdom. People often ask me how I learned to play the bass, and simple story, like I wanted to play in church. I wanted to serve God. I didn't have any other motive to play the bass. My mom's a professional singer, so I could have easily have like, oh, I want to play with my mom on stage and da 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 da. I think there's another photo actually. There might be another photo. Yeah, there he is, Reverend Daniel on the bass. Yeah, I wanted to do something. So my friend was like, oh, look, we'll get you a drum kit. We were going to the same church at the time. We'll get you a drum kit. So I saved up some money, gave it to his family. They went over to the States and came back with a bass guitar. And I was like, well, where's the drums? And then, and they were like, no, they were too big. And yeah, you didn't have enough money as well. So I was like, all right. But why has this bass got 5 strings on it? Basses typically have 4 strings. So I thought they were tricking me again, basically. I thought they were giving me like an electric guitar or half of one. But as a result, you know, eventually I got used to it and I was happy. 2 weeks later, I'm in the service, I'm playing. Don't know what I'm playing, but I'm playing. But that's it. I'm in that place. I'm serving God. I'm so happy. I actually learned to play the bass quite well. But then as a result, God's allowed me to play in the top bars and clubs in London, the most prestigious jazz club in London, Ronnie Scott's. I've played there twice. I've done festivals. I've got music on Spotify. This album that I was working on, a girl was doing backing vocals for someone in Japan. They were waving our album in the crowd in Japan. Right? But that's God. He added. I just wanted to serve him. Nehemiah knew his purpose, his primary purpose, as one of the children of Israel, that he had to be instrumental in bringing God's kingdom to earth. And this is no different for us at Bassett Street all these years on. Seek first the kingdom. God will open the doors, God will provide, and more. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And again in Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. There's no shortage in heaven for the things we might need. Nothing. All we need to do is seek God's kingdom and believe for the increase. So in closing, I want to take us to scripture in Luke 15:20-24. And it's a really good display of our Heavenly Father's loving kindness. It's that well-known story of the prodigal son who leaves home, wastes all his money, squanders everything that he has, and he just ends up washed up somewhere. It's also the story of how a loving father welcomes that son, that same son, back home. He gives him a signet ring, a new robe, sandals, kills the fatted calf, and he holds a party. He says that this son that was once lost is now found. He's back. And again, in many ways, it's the same story is played out in Nehemiah, where he's initiating a return home, not only on his behalf, but for the whole of Israel. A return home to not only to Jerusalem, but to God. A nation, himself included, that Nehemiah says in prayer, that acted corruptly against their God. But when Nehemiah petitions the king, immediately Nehemiah has been given all that he needs to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem by the king, And it says it pleased him. It pleased the king. That's the mercy of God. That's the loving kindness of our God. Both are lovely pictures of the Father's heart. Whenever we come to him, anytime we come to him, it's the same picture. Was Nehemiah, even though he was sad in the king's presence, was he scolded? No, he wasn't. Was the prodigal son condemned or blamed for squandering all that money and his riches and everything? No, he wasn't. It says, while he was still afar off, the father ran to him, fell on his neck and kissed him. The son didn't even have a chance to pitch, wow, I might be able to work here. No, just in the embrace of God. It shows us that God knows what we need before we even ask. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father whenever we come to him in prayer. Loving, caring, warm. This is our God. And maybe you're here today and you're feeling far from God. Perhaps you've never even thought to turn and seek God. And if that is the case, then myself, Bob, or Nick, we can sit and talk and we can pray with you. But for everyone else, I'd like us all to stand. I believe that God wants to meet us and meet some needs in here today. I just want to pray for us all. Father, I thank you, great and awesome God, that you know what we need before we even ask, Lord. That you're that Father that runs to us, Lord, before we even have a chance to say what we want to say. As soon as we draw near to you, you draw near to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we're not seeking things, Lord. We're seeking your face. We're seeking your kingdom, Lord God, today and forever. We want to see your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives, in this street, in our area, in the world over, Lord God. We say, come, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord God. And Lord, there are needs that we have. Father, I pray for healing, Lord, to be released even now in Jesus' name. Where is mental, physical, Lord God. Lord, I pray for mercy, your loving kindness to be made known, Lord, to harden hearts, Lord, today. Lord, I pray where there's lack. Lord, we've just sung about the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lord, where there's lack in finances, Lord, I pray you bring provision, Lord. Lord, if there's unforgiveness anywhere, Lord God, I pray you show us the forgiveness that we received on the cross to strengthen us to forgive those who sin against us, Lord God. Bless you, Lord. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, Lord. And you will reign forever, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen.